All right, God bless, guys. Tonight's sharing I'm entitling Through the Eyes of a Child. A young boy went to the lingerie department of a store to purchase a gift for his mother. Bashfully, he whispered to the clerk that he wanted to buy a slip for his mom, but he didn't know her size. The woman explained that it would help if he could describe her. Was she thin, big, short, tall, or what? Well, replied the youngster, she's just about perfect. So the clerk sent him home with a medium-sized slip. A few days later, the mother came to the store to exchange the gift for a considerably larger size. The little fellow had seen her through the eyes of love, which always sees beyond physical appearances. I want to read together with you 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 6. Charity, or agape love, suffers long, it's kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, it does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. You know, like the young fellow that was mentioned above who only saw perfection in his mother, you know, God sees that perfection in us beyond our physical limitations and appearances. Well, miraculously, God, he has placed his spirit nature in us and has given us great authority and power, so it doesn't make sense then that we as his children, doesn't it make sense that we can exhibit a quality of love like him? No matter what the situations or circumstances in life may be, we can love like God does. And you know who is the greatest example of this manifestation of the love of God in the senses world? I think you know. His name was Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you something. Is it possible that you have ever secretly rejoiced when someone that when you heard that someone you didn't like or someone you disapproved of had gotten into some kind of trouble, when you heard about that person's difficulty or hardship, maybe you were tempted to think these thoughts. Well, you know what? It serves him right. He deserves what he's getting. After what he did to me and to so many others, it's about time he got a little punishment. Well, if this describes you, as I am sure it has for all of us at some point in time, this is not the way God's love reacts to such situations. And so let me ask you, have you ever been seriously wronged by another believer that you were close to and had great admiration for? Maybe what was done was so wrong that if the events concerning it had occurred elsewhere, the consequences would have been much more severe. You know, it's not surprising that in the heat of the conflict and hurt feelings that go along with it, all you could think of, retaliate and get even. And what if, since that event occurred, this person has come into many unfortunate situations and hardships in their life? The children have had behavioral problems. The family has experienced difficult financial situations. And this couple is having struggles in their marriage. You know, initially we may have to resist the temptation privately and wanting to rejoice that judgment had finally had its way. They're getting what they deserve, aren't they? Really? Is this what comes out? You know, we've got to realize that rejoicing in another's trouble is not the way the love of God behaves. If we choose to allow our minds and hearts to be renewed and transformed, we can only then begin to achieve a truly godly perspective and inwardly mourn over the way the adversary has taken advantage and gained entry into the life or lives of one of God's children. Maybe we begin and should begin to realize that loving is the supernatural attitude of the believer, because love is the nature of Christ. When a believer does not love, he has to do so intentionally and with effort, just as he must do to hold his breath. To become habitually unloving, he must habitually resist Christ as the Lord of his heart. To continue the analogy to breathing, when Christ has his proper place in our hearts, We do not have to be told to love, just as we do not have to be told to hold our breath or to be told to breathe. Eventually, it must just happen, because loving is as natural to the spiritual person as breathing is to the natural person. You know, I heard one person say, when you squeeze a Christian, what comes out? Well, you may think a lot of things come out, but my point is, when you're under pressure and you're being squeezed, what comes out? Ideally, what comes out of a spirit-filled, God-fearing, loving person is the love of God. Pressure refines things to bring out the best qualities in people, not the worst. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13:6, which we wrote about, read about just a minute ago, Paul wrote that love rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. You know, this phrase, rejoices not, obviously does come from a Greek phrase, and it means to not have, it rejoices not. It carries the idea, it's the idea of being glad about something. Because figure out it's going to be rejoices not. So the first part of that word means no or not, and the second part of the word is the word for joy, which carries the idea about being glad about something. It's the picture of a person who is euphoric over something that's happened. In other words, to describe this Cairo would be overjoyed, elated, ecstatic, exhilarated, thrilled, jubilant, and whatever else words you can put in there. And the word iniquity is the Greek word adikos, which conveys the idea of an injustice or something that is wrong or bad. So let's look at this maybe in a little different way for our own translation, in that love does not feel overjoyed when it sees an injustice done to someone else. It doesn't secretly rejoice saying, this person deserved that because, man, you remember what happened to us or what happened to me. You know, our inward desire to rejoice at another individual's hardship is completely contrary to the love nature of God. And even though we have suffered wrongly, have been aware of other wrongs done to others in the Christian community or body of Christ or in our church or maybe even in someone else's church, the right response is always to pray for the restoration of that person. Real love simply doesn't rejoice at someone else's misfortunes. Remember in Galatians, it talks about ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest ye also be tempted. Boy, the tendency is just to want to get mad, get even, get separated, and hold grudges. And it just doesn't work well. But yet Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you and abuse you. And wow, that is just a change from a worldly point of view. So it goes on to tell us that when someone else gains some kind of advantage in life that we have been desiring, love isn't threatened by that person's success, but it rejoices with his victory. And again, this word rejoices, that word kairo. So let's look at this. Let's think that the second part of that verse, we see it's rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So love is elated. It's thrilled. It's ecstatic. It's overjoyed with the truth. You know, the beauty of the love of God is it refuses to focus on faults or shortcomings. It doesn't mean that it is blind to weakness and sin, but the love of God sees beyond them, accepting people as they are, looking at their best qualities, and wanting their good. Maybe that's what Vicki was saying. We learn to see the glass half, well, we see it half full, half empty, or overflowing. See, that's a good one. We see the glass overflowing, overflowing with God's goodness, God's grace, God's love, God's care, God's kindness, God's mercy, on and on and on it goes. So we don't just see it half empty or half full. We are overflowing with the greatness and the goodness of God in our lives. You know, maybe this causes you and myself to examine our response to others in light of these particular exhortations. So if negative attitudes quickly surface, if glaring character defects always loom up before us, maybe we need to work and look and try a little harder at seeing others through the eyes of love. When you see other people blessed, perhaps receiving a blessing or a special attention that you have longed to receive yourself, are you able to truly rejoice with them? Or do you kind of inwardly say, man, I wish that was me. You know, I deserve that. I should be getting that. Does it thrill you to know that other people are moving upward in life, or does it threaten you and make you sad when you see someone else receiving a blessing you wished was yours? Oh my gosh, this is just so real in terms of how contrary God's thoughts and thinking are compared to man's. You know, God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, right? And here's the example of the great quality of love. So how you respond to other people's troubles and blessings reveals a great deal about your true level of spiritual maturity. So here's a good question to ask yourself. Do I rejoice when I hear bad news about someone who did me wrong in the past? Or does it break my heart to hear about the problems that that person is facing? Because the adversary, the devil, has gotten involved in that situation and is kicking the behind of somebody. See? Breaks your heart to hear about the problems the person is facing. When someone steps into the blessing I've been believing for in my own life, am I elated for that person? Or does it make me turn green with envy? It's always good to ask ourselves some questions and to go with our hearts to God and write like David wrote in the book of Psalms in 139, where he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Another translation says, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares and see any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that brings me back to you. Again, 1 Corinthians 13:6, which is what we've been focusing on here in the last few minutes. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. The love of God does not feel overjoyed when it sees an injustice done to someone else, especially to someone who has offended us. But love is elated and overjoyed with the truth and in the truth when good things happen to others. Amen. Boy, what a great calling we have been called to. And like that child in the lingerie department looking for a piece of clothing for his mom, he said, well, she's just about perfect. God loves us so much. He cares so much for us. He sees through it all. He sees right to the heart. And he loves what he sees. Heavenly Father, thank you for these great truths. Father, we are constantly being exhorted to rise up to a new level. Father, when the pressure's on and we're being squeezed, that love comes out all over the place. And there's just nothing's going to stop us, Father, from loving you and speaking your word and standing faithfully upon the greatness of what you called us to. So bless God's people tonight, Father. Thank you that we learn and grow and put into application the things that we see and understand and develop as a part of the character of Christ within us. And praying in Jesus Christ's name.